Okay, so this is another try at a great episode in the making. I am your host, along with my partner, Solar and Lunar Mysticism, on Raven's Nest Vedic Astrology Podcast. This is your most well-discovered fact, and it's that
Chithras... We fact-checked ourselves.
Chithras are not only bodybuilders... But they shine like diamonds, and they're... No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Guys, I'm going to talk a little bit and make it quick about Nakshatra Chitra. We had been talking about Legos because I was reminiscing on how I was a child and loved to play with Legos. And I found it fascinating, and it came up because now I am doing framing work, which is like real-life Legos. Right, using real blocks, not plastic blocks the size of 5 centimeters. So what am I getting at? Well, I thought, as an astrologer, Vedic astrologer, because if you studied this without knowing having the knowledge of nakshatras, you might not be able to even figure this out. Like, you don't hear a tropical astrologer saying, oh yeah, Libras are... They're always architects, or a Virgo. They you might get lucky and get it right for Virgo side, but Libras, they might just say they're artsy fartsy and that's it. But to get a little more deep, a little more specific, we have the deity of Chitra being ruled by Tavistar. I don't know if I said that right.
But oh, you know what? That's, yeah, you're right. But you did say Libras architects, and actually have a chart of a sun in Chitra of an architect.
Boom. Okay, but don't steal my fire here, because
boom, let's go right into what you were going to share though. So
I, being a Vedic astrologer, you start to put two and two together, and that is basically, well, let's look up the founding date. Let's see if I can find the founder's birthday. So I did. And what I found was Kurt Christensen, who was a master carpenter born in Denmark. He had Mercury-Mars conjunct, but that Mercury had a 10-degree 7th house aspect onto what would be Chitra. He also had Sun, and especially Moon too, in Pisces, which is, and they're at a high degree, that aspect onto that high degree portion of where Chitra is in Virgo, because Chitra takes up the latter portion of Virgo and takes an early degrees of Libra. Now it gets even more interesting, even as I looked at that, and then the founding date as well, I was seeing Sun and Mercury in Virgo. But the son of Kurt Christensen, who was named after Kirk named the company after his son. And this guy had Mars, the planetary ruler of Chitra, in Chitra. And he also had it conjunct Rahu, the North Node, which right away, boom. I've seen plenty of Rahu Mars conjunctions that create engineers. They create the sort of combination of a left right brain logistic person. They may be a little more into designing something mechanically. That's sort of the where their mind goes with a Rahu Mars conjunction.
I have a good quote from this Vic Dicara book, 27 Stars, 27 Gods, about Chitra. He says, through Chitra, Dvasta empowers humanity to comprehend multifaceted designs and generate masterpieces and technological marvels. Chitra is the abstract power to create, but first, one must have that abstract power within them in order to create it, to make it a reality.
Yeah, it's almost like Chitra is... are almost born to either design something or work in a field where they're shaping their reality, literally. And some of them are like we say, Terence said, our words will, or language creates our reality. They can be writers. They can be poets. They could be designers.
But the architect chart that I have that's really interesting has Jupiter, Saturn conjunct Sun. The Sun is in Chitra. Jupiter and Saturn are in Uttara Falguni. So it's all in Virgo. And what is this person? This person is a teacher. He teaches urban planning and urban development. Basically, how to build cities. He understands the layout of things. But something else that I've noticed about the few Chitra charts that I've looked at, they love music. And this is somebody that I grew up with, one of my best friends, and we would go to concerts together. So the Chitra person is artistic and creative. They want to, architecture is not just related to physical buildings, it's also related to creation of music, because music is a soundscape, right? Music also creates a reality. It creates a vibration.
Yeah, so think about Mars ruling this nakshatra too, and how a lot of times, if in fact you could do a statistical analysis to find out how many Chitras are working class versus not, you may have a solid portion that signify they have some Chitra in their chart. Mars being blood, maybe they're a little more on the red side. Maybe this is how, when you study or go to contractors' job sites and you find a bunch of big burly men that are strong and suit for the job, this is why I've heard Pi Team say a lot of Chitras are bodybuilders. This is why there is a theme in the entirety of how the world within the Chitra's life is about creating worlds in a way. And I think, does that not relate to the mythology of that nakshatra? Does it not? Because you were telling me earlier that Tavi Star was pretty much like ordered to create
another world. Oh yeah, let me find that.
So yeah, that's sort of a pretty awesome find, and I just, that's where we sort of, like, if you don't know nakshatras, you're essentially like, it's like missing a belt loop on your pants for your belt to go through. Because there's this slight twist or flavor that, or ingredient that goes into looking at a chart, and it can be the difference between 14 degrees of a planet in a sign and how, where it moves. It can be a very minute difference. So
I found it. So Vishwakarma is the chief designer of all the buildings, parks, and statues and artwork in paradise. He created all the jewelry for the gods, their most advanced weapons, and their aircraft. He even designed the mechanisms by which the planets and stars move about in the heavens. So Vishwakarma, it sounds like he was the beautifier, right? Because when you think about architects, even like the example I gave of the urban planning, that has to do with making parks, buildings, statues, installation of artwork, right? Mechanisms, how does the mundane things down to like where to put the streetlights in for the street corners and make the stop signs so that the flow of traffic in your city,
yeah,
is not like a total nightmare, right? That's good planning. Bad planning is like traffic jams all the time because it's a two-lane highway when it should really be six.
And maybe, why does, this is sort of a switch up, but like Saturn getting exalted in Libra is like a good judge or a good lawyer. So like if you see a judge or lawyer or an attorney with a good Saturn in Libra, they're not a material smith, they've become a wordsmith, right? They're more of a you take the actual air sign of Libra now, and it's much more of like a how can I mold an argument for my client, right? That sort of idea is seen.
Oh, interesting. I have a Saturn in Libra chart. And they're actually a person that deals with media, public relations.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like a lawyer, because you have to craft the reality.
Yeah, you're a wordsmith is how I would phrase it, right?
They have Venus in Chitra, though, which is conjunct Mars.
Yeah. And kind of going back to Kurt Christensen's son, Gottfried, he also had Mercury, Jupiter conjunct in Cancer. And I find that to be, Jupiter always does well in Cancer. And even Mercury there, it kind of helps to elaborate or help to put a creative spin on whatever world they're living in. So this is all kind of coming back to how interesting it is that this came about. Also, when I was talking about this with you, and how I walk into the store and I'm paying out at the cashier, and there's a magazine stand, and it was like, I'm pretty sure it was Time Magazine with the Legos cover. So I was just kind of like mind blown for a minute of how the universe just kind of like, you know, talks with you and says, yeah, use that in your podcast, bro.
That's funny. You know, what I wanted to talk about was the United States Pluto return. But before we do that, the United States has Saturn in Chitra.
Yeah, an excellent place, right? And an excellent place for working class men.
Saturn and Chitra conjunct Neptune.
Yeah, and maybe that creates a bit of the malefic influence on the entire architecture of the United States, because when you see what was built in the 60s, you kind of want to cringe.
Well, not to mention like the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s. But
this could get real negative.
You know, let's talk about that, because guess what? If this chart is correct, Saturn is the Atma Kark of the United States. And I think I've said a lot maybe on this podcast, but I feel like I talk about it all the time because I have some prominent planets in Virgo. And I have Saturn in Virgo, not in Chitra, but I get it. I feel it. The United States needs to take care of its health. And Saturn is like putting that Saturnian energy into Virgo, which Saturn does good in Virgo.
Yeah, because it's
a friend with Mercury. But you have to apply yourself. You have to take care of your health. And I think that is one of the main problems with the United States is health.
Yeah, well,
we're the fattest country, we're the craziest country, we're the laziest country.
Again, what is this really about? It's something that a tropical astrologer can't tell you this, that it Virgo is the sign of Prabdha Karma, which is it's a karma that must be dealt with. Wherever Virgo is in the sign for anybody, it's Prabdha Karma, whether it's in your eighth house, your first house, your second house, it's Prabdha Karma. And that...
What does that mean?
I understand, it's sort of like an impending karma that you're going to have to deal with in this life.
It's fixed. There's no remedy that can fix it.
It has to be worked through. It has to be dealt with. And especially with Saturn, it's like that double. That puts the amplifies the Prabdha Karma even more, meaning, hey, you're born in this country, you're going to have to say no to McDonald's, you're going to say no to Wendy's, you're going to have to stop eating French fries from all these. Yeah, you got it. You got it. I don't want to go down that tangent.
Yeah, but let's talk about that, though, because I think to get back to, you know, Mars and Chitra and these conjunctions is, you know, this kind of demonization of the right wing extremist workout types. Like they say that people that take care of their health and work out and want to be physically fit. And like, let's say, you would say these kinds of people could probably fight a war. They would be physically and mentally fit to fight a war. That's considered right-wing extremism right now. That's hilarious to me. That's so funny. But that is, yeah, of course they're saying that because Saturn is in Chitra of the United States chart with a Scorpio ascendant. They're going to say those things. So it is something for us to deal with, especially with these transits of the nodes changing signs into that 6-12 axis, like you mentioned, things that we must deal with in this lifetime.
Well, and certainly we will continue to sort of deal with it, especially in this real-time transit this month of October with an eclipse in Chitra. It's going to be an interesting month to month to year for quite a while. Now,
especially for us in the United States, because we're having a Pluto return, and Pluto comes out of retrograde 10/10.
Yeah. Well, I was going to touch on that Mars K2 thing real quick and how it's in our transits, mm-hmm. in our history,
yeah.
that the stock markets have crashed, especially. You can look it up. There was one in 1929 in the same sign of Libra. Another in 1987, Virgo. Okay, Prabhu Karma. And even one 1987. You're talking about Mars K2 conjunction. So generally we take that as a sign in the patterns of what we're viewing that it's quite possible it will happen again, right? But it's up for really, it's not for a prediction, you know. It could happen in many different forms, and generally it's a time range of when things aren't teeter-tottering in the right way.
Oh, I have another layer. 2006, Mars and K2 were conjunct in Virgo. And that was another time that I was talking to you about earlier, when there was a market crash around that time. And that transit, Mars K2, hit our natal Saturn.
Yeah, so it's pretty, shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. I mean, it's so, everyone sees the world now as if, like, you know, tomorrow could be it. So it's easier than ever for most people to see that, yeah, like, something crazy is going to happen.
Yeah, there's all those suggestions in your YouTube, like, the next big one, the reckoning, whatever they call it. You know, this is why you study Vedic astrology, not Western tropical astrology, because when you study Vedic astrology and you look at the nakshatras and you start to notice patterns and you allow your mind to take you there by exploring, like, you know, you see that, you know, that magazine with Lego on the cover and you're like, this, I should research this. And you're like, oh my gosh, this is the Chitra connection. And then you look at the transits for the stock markets and you're like, oh my gosh, there's another connection with K2 Mars and Chitra. And guess what? We're having an eclipse right coming up. So
yeah, it all kind of blends together. We're not even at an exact Pluto return yet, right? Of the Pluto transit over natal Pluto for the U.S., correct?
We're 3 degrees away from that. So, Pluto will be at 3 degrees of sidereal Capricorn when it comes out of retrograde on 10/10. And it's in what they call the retrograde shadow zone until February of 2024, because it is a slow moving planet. And this is where we kind of vary from traditional Vedic astrologers. We are talking about Pluto because this is a personal belief, but Pluto and these outer planets have become more active because now there is enough time where we can start to observe what their cycles are doing in the greater sense of like a nation, right? Versus a person. You have hundreds of years of a nation and you see, oh, these transits bring these calamities every single time this conjunction happens over this other planet in transit.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's nothing to be taken lightly with the second eclipse, the lunar eclipse, towards the end of this month.
October 28th and... Oh, another nakshatra of healing, Ashwini.
Yeah, it's a pretty loaded eclipse.
I guess since we're talking about Chitra, I'll just talk a little bit about Mars. Some observations that I have. So we were talking about Mars and it being related to soldiers, but Mars is often also related to people that work with the Earth. So geologists and people that study the cycles of time in the Earth, like in the greater cycles, and also realtors. People that sell land, right? Because, you know, people say architects are Chitra, but also I would say realtors probably have Chitra. People that do photography for real estate, right? Or take photos or draw, you know, plans for architects, right? People that sketch might have Chitra. Another interesting thing that is related to Mars is what we call the Rakta Dhatu, or the blood, or the blood building. And I've recently had conversations with two people that told me that they started to eat meat again. And I think it's related to this Mars K2 conjunction.
Yeah.
Because they were trying to purify themselves, right? And their health was suffering, so for their health, they decided to eat meat again, was how they both phrased it. I thought that's pretty interesting because we're about to have some prominent transits in Virgo, and people are trying to change their diet to figure out what their health issue is.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty interesting, but you know, that goes back to the original sixth house of enemies, conflicts, health, and what I call the daily grind. That's your sixth house. Things that you have to deal with every single day. Almost all of us have to deal with going to work, right? We have to wake up and go to a job that might be physically taxing, right? But that's part of it. That's part of the things that we have to do. And let me see, what else was I going to say about that? I got lost. I have a lot of notes. So what's a remedy for all this? What's something that you can do? Because people are going to be feeling, I think a lot of people are feeling the energy and they're like worried something big's going to happen, especially since there's this like war that just kind of started in another country, right? So people are kind of on edge thinking if it's going to happen here, because we just had that emergency broadcasting thing happen here and there's all this kind of stuff. And most normal people don't have Vedic astrology to like see what's happening, right? They don't realize, oh, I should probably just take care of my health. They're worried about like a war starting any day. So they're in that fear mentality. So a natural remedy for this, for protection, is the Narasimha Kavacham, right? Or the avatar Vishnu, that is what they call the man lion, right? And the man lion is often invoked for protection, especially for children, and to protect against abdominal injuries which is also your sixth house. Because in the story of Narasimha, he slashed the abdomen of the demon and ripped out his entrails, which is kind of gruesome. But when you think about it, that's the exact representation of the sixth house. It's all of that. What's going on in there? The intestines. So I think it's a good time to pay attention to that area of your body, your health, your diet, your digestion, your intestinal health. Are you eating correctly? Did you change your diet for the fall? Most people don't think about that. They're just going to keep eating, but it's not till they encounter a problem that they want to take care of their health. Right?
Right. Yeah, easy to get swept away with all of the madness of information overload about a sort of a corrupted society, I guess you might say. It's not hard, you know, when we say this eclipse is going to be hard, I could easily get down into specifics like, oh, you know, natural disaster or a geopolitical conflict, you know, these sort of statements may be very true, and yet I don't necessarily feel it is our job to point those little factors out about all of this madness that seems to be in our everyday lives. As far as, I mean, all it takes is turning off your TV, putting your phone away for a couple hours, going for a walk outside, and you can sort of get back to, you know,
reality,
the good place, the good spots. And I think that's part of maybe the part of how we should use Chitra as learning to, because this reminds me of something we didn't mention, is the nakshatra sounds that come about.
Oh, yeah.
And the sound, one of them was R-E. And
the other one's pay. P-A-Y.
Yeah, so
how about repay? Whoa.
Well, most likely when we're talking about real estate and those sort of things, people usually get remodels or a house gets rehabilitated. That sort of thing happens. And you were talking about
rezoned.
In another way of relating to Chitra is Chitra Gupta, who was also the recorder, right?
Oh, yeah,
the
recorder.
So,
oh, yeah, because Chitra Gupta records things in secrecy, right? So he's taking, you know how they say in like Christian belief system that like God's watching you and taking note of everything you're doing? That God is Chitra Gupta. The Vedic, I guess you would say the Vedic perspective and Santan Dharma actually gave a name to that God. Right. Yeah, that's...
Well, and I think Chitragupta is probably really about memory and...
I would say also you think about what Chitragupta, in the sense of Virgo, why is Chitra partially in Virgo? Well, because Virgo is the sign of organization and structure and meticulous nature, right? So... Chitragupta had to be meticulous in memory, right? To remember everything.
This is why natives with Chitra tend to have a photographic memory. Usually there is the best way for a Chitra to learn is visually. That's what I have noticed. And I want to say Dr. Arjun Pai has mentioned that. So it probably came from him that I say that. So that's quite a fascinating thing. And maybe with these eclipses, with a little bit of Chitra in the atmosphere, it could be time for us to take more responsibility in shaping our reality, you know, taking the right actions, designing new things, choosing our words more responsibly. Because when we shape our reality, we're using language. At a, you know, on a metaphysical level, you could say.
Speaking of language, to get back to, you know, why we talk about things in a certain way in this podcast, it's because, you know, we do live in the United States, So that's why we're talking about this Pluto return on the United States chart. And I'm bringing it up because you're talking about language, and the United States has Ketu in what? It has Ketu in Shravana, right? And it's conjunct Pluto. And the United States, you know, is kind of headless. A lot of people that live here can be headless, just kind of running around, like not listening to anything. And when you think about Shravana, that's the negative side of Shravana, not listening, just getting caught up in everything around you and getting sucked into the black hole of reality.
Yeah, Shravana's lunar ruled, right? It's ruled by moon, and mm-hmm. Ketu's there, so maybe there's a little bit of lunacy, literally.
Inimical qualities, yeah.
It's lunatic type behavior and not learning from the past. You know, it's a constant karmic rebound when you decided you would cheat your diet and go to Zaxby's once a week. You know, that does more to your health than what you might realize. So we have to watch our behavior, and essentially it's about creating, doing what Chitras are really good at, creating the path that will free us from this suffering. And that requires usually like good ideas.
Oh,
right?
That relates to what I was just about to say about Chitras. So in the Myths and Symbols of Vedic Astrology book, Chitra is described as the momentary flash becomes the guiding star to drive the aspirant to traverse the difficult path. The asterism Chitra represents the sudden flash of inspiration, the urge to realize one's true image. For this, the individual often goes into different kinds of suffering. But before the pearl is obtained and polished, the oyster, the physical outer health, has to be dissolved and the shell must be discarded. Because all of the suffering is for a cause, the realization of the inner self, in which the man resembles the pure shining pearl lying hidden within the hard shell of the body and the ego.
Ooh, that's very... That just kind of sums it all up, because when you talk about the body and how when we study just the occult or the esoteric of spirituality, essentially anything is a reflection of what's within us, right? We sort of touched on that in the last episode. We're experiencing adumbrations a lot of times in everyday life. So as Chitras feel this need to shape their own body, to treat it and build it as if it is a temple, maybe that's what it takes, right? To feel it inside of you, to want to envision something of a certain standard, of a certain structure or design. You have to feel it first within you. Maybe you have to really get to know what that vision or plan is, and then putting it into action, which, being Mars ruled, it makes this nakshatra a very dynamic one, pretty motivated, I'd say. So yeah, that's kind of gonna do it. I just thought that the body translating as the thing we build, everyone's bodybuilding, right? Except we do it differently. Some people have a certain diet. Some people have a certain exercise regime. And you have a certain constitution based off of your astrology chart. So, and then the same factor, you build a home. It might be wood. It might be block. It might be stone. It might be brick. It's all these different little factors that come into sort of the flavor of this nakshatra.
Yeah. Also, I think it's going to become a little bit more prominent with, you know, Saturn going into Dhanishta again very soon, which is also ruled by Mars. So the Martian energy is only going to get stronger. So, you know, if you've felt like the dross of reality has gotten to you and you feel kind of weighed down, maybe try, like we said in the previous podcast, you know, martial arts, maybe watching martial arts movies, doing some kind of herbal cleanse for your blood, of course, safely. You know, maybe having like dandelion tea, something like that to help purify your blood, because the stagnation of the blood also creates a stagnation in the body. And, you know, as you were saying, if you eat Zaxby's once a week, that starts to contribute to the quality of life. And Mars is the seat of the will. It's that will. If you have no will, then you're not going to want to wake up in the morning and achieve anything.
Right.
And Mars does not like that feeling. So,
well said.
Yeah. Just one last mention. And I think that's going to wrap up this podcast. But, you know, not only is the eclipse season upon us, but after the new moon in Ashwin Amavasya, we have Navaratri, which is a celebration of the goddess Durga. It's a 10-day celebration starting with the first day after the new moon, which is the Pratipada, all the way to Dashami, which is when goddess Durga is at her highest form and she slays the demon. But it also represents the same day that Lord Sri Ram slayed the demon Ravana. So how can we apply that to our reality? This is a reminder to us that we can be in control of our own demons, of our own mental preoccupations that are negative that we need to get rid of.
Excellent point, Lunar Mysticism.
Way to get out there, but thanks for sticking with us and listening to our podcast.
We'll see you next time, and feel free to share this with all your friends that love astrology, love Vedic astrology, love spirituality, anything in between, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.